Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well, in the first half, we talk some music, talk life, we do some news, we do some sports. It's all coming ahead. First, I'll tell you about JB Weld. Got a DIY project you need to get through? Might I suggest JB Weld? Want to save money? Want to avoid paying the repairman? Want to avoid the repairman running around in your home? Big or small repairs, home or garage, ordinary household glue. Well, it's got the word ordinary right in the title. You need better. You need stronger. You need JB Weld. We're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner. We hung out at SEMA in the JB Weld booth. Where else would we go? And they've been at it for over 50 years. It's proudly made in the USA. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, kitchen drawer, your craft room, and whatever you like, wood, metal, plastic, and more. You don't glue it. You JB Weld it. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. JB Weld.
Buy tickets now for Modern Drummer Festival 2020, streaming on Live by Live, Saturday, September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Catch performances from more than 30 of the world's best drummers, including Chad Smith of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters, Mike Portnoy, Cindy Blackman Santana, and many more. Plus, a special tribute to drumming legend Neil Peart. All proceeds benefit brain tumor research at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in honor of Neil Peart. Get your tickets today at livexlive.com/moderndrummer and tune in September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Live by Live.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and brought to you by Bet Online, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, author of Think Like a Monk, Jay Shetty. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario on sports. And now, a man who believes that the way men are heading, all gender reveal parties should have pink explosions. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a trip. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan.
Boom.
Yay.
Yay.
Happy birthday.
Oh, that's right. It's Fondelier's birthday. Oh. He's got to remind me. That's part of his job to remind
me. He's putting his own birthday on your schedule.
Yes. You're your Jetta boss.
Get yourself a gift certificate. That was a decent Fondelier. I've told you guys in the past that my technique that I figured out. Now, most of this stuff you guys think I'm kidding about, but I'm really not kidding about 99% of the stuff I'm talking about, which is I've always said, find a hat, a ball cap with the name of the police or law enforcement in the community you're in and put it on when you're driving in that community because you want to speed. And when you get pulled over, if you're wearing the cap, you're not going to get a ticket. Has there ever been a truer time than now for that? I feel like cops feel beleaguered and unappreciated. And if you were just speeding through Glendale and you had a Glendale PD hat on and you got pulled over, I can guarantee you're not getting a ticket. Yeah. Find those hats. Find a few of them. Throw them on the passenger seat. Don't let the cops see them. Just put it on when you're going through that jurisdiction.
As you cross over to Burbank, you switch hats.
Yes. Or is there a generic sort of just police yay? Oh.
You know what I mean? Probably a back the blue or one of the flags of the blue line.
Yeah, just get a back the blue hat tell Matt he's got to order me to get one for himself. It's his birthday.
Sure.
Give me a nice Back the Blue hat on, and I don't think I'm getting a ticket for the next 7 months if I if I get pulled over with the Back the Blue on. I feel like it's they're sensitive. They're looking for allies. They feel like they're on the ropes. They're beleaguered. You got the Back the Blue cap on. You get pulled over. I think you got yourself out of a ticket. I really do.
You get yourself a hearty handshake and a slap on the behind.
Well, remember,
get on your way.
Every time, you know, the meter maids always do that. I already started riding, you know, and I can't do anything about the ticket. But cops don't start riding until they're done talking to you, and then they start riding. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's true.
And just sort of switch it out for a BLM hat when you go into a Literati cafe.
Oh yeah, yeah. Be careful if you're driving through certain parts of town. You got to swap that. You got to swap that hat out.
You know, speaking of those words, I don't know if you heard this. There's an article that we featured a black police officer the other night on KFI, and there was an article written about him, I believe, called "Too Black to Be Blue, Too Blue to Be Black," and about, you know, facing racism and stuff in his life, and then becoming a cop, and he still can't please everyone because he's a cop, and now everyone hates him again. And it's just like what a slog it feels like.
Some of the most disturbing imagery I've seen from this particular time we're in is the kind of 23-year-old blonde chick like just screaming at the black cop who's just standing there and like getting in their face and just screaming as loud as they can. I hate you. You're an embarrassment to your race. And blah. It's so weird. And it's also, I don't know. Here's a black guy. He's got a job. Do we have to just scream in his face? And also, what is the opposite of what you want him? What would you like him to do? Like, okay, no black people can be cops? Or how? What are we talking about here?
Like, feels what's counterproductive.
What's the end game? Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's one of those questions where it's like, which black lives exactly matter? Because this is a black life, and you're screaming in his face telling him he's a disgrace.
Also, the 23-year-old chick who's never really had a problem in her life, maybe you should find a mirror and do a little bit of reflect a little bit on your life instead of this just wave of kind of visceral anger that's just like pouring out of everyone's mouth.
Wouldn't more black cops address the issue they're protesting against? Like, logically?
Yes.
It's not going to solve everything, but isn't that like a step toward the light? You know what I'm saying?
Well, they never really square this circle or they never really get this round peg into the square hole or fix the Rubik's Cube of this. But many of the law enforcement groups they're talking about are like a majority minority. L.A. is kind of a majority minority. If you take Hispanic and women and blacks, I think Chicago's probably, and they have black female, you know, captains and mayors and city officials and stuff like this whole sort of edifice of we have this big white group of Gestapo cops. It's like, especially drive around L.A., I don't see that many just straight ahead blonde haired cops anymore. That's from like One Adam 12 days. I see a lot of
Chips, and that was only half.
Yes, yeah. I see a lot of women. I see a lot of Hispanics. I see a lot of blacks. I mean, it's mixed. I don't know. Baltimore's probably this way. Like many of these cities are not a majority white police force. So I can't even really figure out where the. It's kind of what I was saying to Tom Arnold when Tom Arnold was screaming about racist cops. I was like, well, if the majority of the cops in L.A. are not, in fact, white or not white male, then are we talking about the other cops that are now racist as well, that are black and brown and female, and then the police chief and all that stuff, too? And then what had happened, then they just do this, well, it's systemic. So everyone is participating in it, whether they're aware of it or not. So, yes, a black cop would not solve the problem because he's in the system that's racist. Mm-hmm. That's kind of their argument, but I'm sort of with you. Like, why don't we just, wouldn't that help?
So is the whole idea of the Irish cop a days of yesteryear? Because that was like what you think of when you think of cops walking the beat, the old Irish cop. That's not a thing anymore then, right?
Not here.
George Kennedy in The Blue Knight was the perfect, he was the perfect model of that Irish cop who was walking the beat. Not only doing that, when I was a kid, guys did stuff with their billy club. Like, they'd walk down, they were, like, leading a parade.
Like,
it was
Marshall.
An ass-kicking parade.
They were dotting the I in Ohio.
Right. They were just boom, boom, and they were just out there, like, they were like, drum majors. And that was considered a fine thing. That was the whole beginning. If you can find The Blue Knight with George Kennedy, who you guys later on know from Airplane and stuff like that. But George Kennedy, his whole thing was he takes that billy club and he just swings it around as he walks up and down the streets of Los Angeles. Oh, I'll beat you, boy. Oh, a simpler time. His name was Bumper. And he's always had his baton out. Like, he walked to the shower, he had his baton out. He'd go to a buffet, he had that baton out. He was always swinging his baton around and just was holding it, ready to just beat any pedestrian that crossed outside of a sidewalk. Simpler times. Can you imagine pitching that cop show today? Like, hey, we need a big, husky white guy who's just walking down the street swinging that baton around, and then
get
he grabs it and pose. Max, I just show the beginning of that one more time, because you have to watch the first 3 seconds of it. It just lights up on him spinning that baton around and then holding it.
Oh, yeah.
You want some? You found.
It's like a six-shooter.
Yeah, you want trouble? You found it. What's his name? Bumper Smith or Bumper something? Anyway. Hey, Steve, 36, from the Midwest.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I was calling in, Adam, just because I'm federal law enforcement, and over the last couple of weeks, a lot of the conversations you guys have been having with the different shootings that are in the media, and I listened to this show and Reasonable Doubt, and so I listened to Mark Caragos and you, and just one of the perspectives that I was going to throw out there from a law enforcement perspective was the idea of when people say, oh, did they need to shoot him, or you know, like with Jacob Blake reaching into the car and then they shot him. And one thing that they always drill down on us when you're in your training is the action versus reaction idea. And they'll actually have you stand there pointing one of our rubber pistols at another person, and that person is just holding a gun straight down. It's not pointed at you. And someone behind you gives a signal to that person, and they will, by the time they draw and shoot, you will be hit before you can even return fire because of that split-second decision it makes to shoot back at someone. And so that's one of these ideas with law enforcement, and we get into these really quick, instant decisions that need to be made. And I know from our training perspective that is drilled into our minds of that action versus reaction of how quickly a gun can be pulled out and then used against you. So I think that's something that we forget about in terms of these guys making decisions. And I've never been a beat cop, like local police or anything like that, so I can't even imagine how much more difficult it becomes in those situations.
You've never been a beat cop like Bumper Morgan, the Blue Knight?
Morgan. No, never. Never had a club or anything like that, yeah.
No one, when they were naming him Bumper Morgan, no one ever said his initials are BM, maybe. We should stay away.
One guy did once.
That's
he
right.
He got beat down. He got a mahogany shampoo.
I was mahogany shampoo.
Conway always says that.
Mahogany is a horrible wood to make a baton out of.
It wouldn't graphite or something a lot more durable.
Not what it's called.
Too new. It had to be like oak would be good, walnut would be good. It would be like there's no mahogany baseball bat. So tell Conway that mahogany's lightweight. It's for decking.
Ash.
On a yacht.
Oh,
yeah, it's
gotcha.
Gotta be ashy. Yeah, it's gotta be a hardwood. But good. I like the shampoo part. Yeah. No, Gene, I was talking about more in the writer's room when they were naming the guy Bumper Morgan. I would have probably raised my hand. And how about Bumper Johnson? Because now we got BJ instead of BM. You know what I mean? That's win-win. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
You do law enforcement. You're not telling us on purpose exactly what kind of law enforcement or federal law enforcement?
Yeah, I'm a federal agency, but they frown upon us going on media and stating who we're with and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah, here's the problem. They couch all these stories. They do a lot of stuff. Like they go, this guy left his house that morning. No one deserves to get shot. Just, you know, when you leave that house, you couldn't even think you got shot. Sure. It's like, I know, shit happens. Shit happens all the time. Nobody deserves this or nobody thinks that. And then they go, he had his kids in the car. And it's like, yes, who knows what that means? There's an argument that goes against your argument, which is he had his kids in the car. It's just so difficult to figure out. Here's a question for you, though. I think one of the problems that the public at large has with all these shootings is there's so many shots fired. And that seems to be the part that really doesn't sit well. Now, who knows if they'd react better if there were 3 shots fired versus 7 shots fired, but we always kind of get on that. Like, they shot him 7 times. Why'd they have to shoot him 7 times? And I just assume that once you rip the Band-Aid off of that wound of I'm now shooting my gun, they just shoot. But you tell me, what's the training, Brad? Or, sorry, the training, Steve.
Well, yeah, so there's... Yeah, I get what you're saying. There is, I mean, to a degree, it was why they shoot him 7 times, but they shot him 7 times and he's still alive. So pistol rounds are kind of one of those things that it can put someone down, but unless you hit him in the right spot, you might not necessarily kill someone either. And we were always taught, they try to teach you, you are responsible for every bullet that comes out of your gun. So shooting indiscriminately, that's bad. I know I don't know out there, you've talked about it before, something about some like newspaper delivery people in a truck and they put like 100 rounds into this vehicle out there. That's bad news.
Yeah.
If you're just shooting 100 rounds and 3 of them lands, well, you got, that's major problems. But when you're in a gunfight, when we get trained, we see stuff all the time of guys will be shooting at a subject and there's been people afterwards that they say, like, I don't understand. I was shooting him and nothing was hitting. I thought I was hitting him. And then they tell him, you did, but he just didn't. I think we get conditioned to think that, like, 2 rounds is going to take someone down, and it doesn't a lot of times. You can take 2 rounds and stay in the fight, no problem. You can take 5 rounds and stay in the fight. So as to whether or not how many rounds are needed, I guess that's just a case-by-case basis and determining how long it takes for someone to go down.
Look at 50 Cent. Guy got shot 8 times. He was in the recording studio later that afternoon. True story. Look it up. Hey, thanks for your service, Steve. I had that thought about wearing a hat that said back the blue or whatever it is. I feel like in these days that could get me out of a ticket. Do you agree with that?
It might. You know, I guess maybe not. I'm in the Midwest.
I'm going to file it under it couldn't hurt. That's what I'm going to do. Let's see. Someone has a question about this and about that. We're working. This is this for Gina, but mostly for Brian. We're working, starting to work on the K-Rock doc at the other studio, and I came across a booklet, boxes of stuff that people are dropping off, and I have like the weenie roast from June 1997.
Okay.
I have the weenie roast from June 1996, and I'm having these floods of memories because these are like me going to the weenie roast.
Oh, sure.
As a new member of K-Rock and even in 95, and this mysterious, exciting, interesting world. The bands from the K-Rock weenie roast for 1996 were Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Sure.
No Doubt.
Yep.
Kiss.
Nice.
The Verve Pipe.
Ooh.
We're all freshmen.
Fugees.
Yep.
Korn.
Yep.
Lush. 311.
Okay.
Garbage.
Damn.
Goldfinger. and Everclear. And
that's
then
a hell of a show.
I'm looking at the picture from the K-Rock from 97, and Jimmy the Sports Guy is wearing glasses and has a cigar in his mouth. It's kind of a weird look. I've never known Jimmy to smoke a cigar. The lineup for 97, Weenie Rose, God, these, I don't know if we'll ever see these days again. The Cure, Squirrel Nut Zippers,
yeah,
Blur, Foo Fighters, Chemical Brothers,
yeah,
The Offspring, The Wallflowers, Third Eye Blind, Oasis.
It's pretty far down the list for some big bands.
I know. Yeah. Oasis.
Oh, my God.
Oasis.
The biggest band.
Eighth billing.
The biggest band in the world at the time.
Mighty Mighty Bosstones, Radiohead.
Jesus.
Social Distortion, Real Big Fish, and Echo and the Bunnymen.
A lot of ska that year.
I remember.
That was a painful era.
There's pictures of me air playing the trumpet up on stage, I think, with Real Big Fish, because they just invited me around. It was the best. You just catch a beer buzz and walk around, and there'd be the Bosstones trailer, and be like, "Hey, Dickie," and you're like, "Have a beer, Ace Man," and just hang out, and then go up on stage and screw around with the trumpet up there.
Wasn't Korn the band from the Man Show bit?
Korn was the band from the Man Show bit.
Is that when you did it, or that wasn't related?
It must have been a couple years later, because Man Show didn't come on until 99.
Oh,
yeah, I had a relationship with Korn, and I brought them up on stage at some event that was in Idaho or something like that. Just one of the many things that may or may not have happened in my life now. I don't even know. Did it happen? Were you on stage in this huge field with Korn, bringing them up on stage? So
sounds like you're having a stroke.
Yeah, the 97 lineup is feast or famine, because I was in college at that point, and there were some great Britpop bands on there, like Oasis and Blur and Radiohead, and some other great bands like The Offspring or whatever. But I remember being tortured, because I knew a bunch of people from like Orange County who like were really into ska and Real Big Fish and all those fucking terrible bands that thank God have just gone extinct.
How dare you?
Yes. Yeah.
Sell out with me. Fuck off.
I like ska.
That nope. song is the intro for Who the Fuck Sells This Shit, by the way. Sell out.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It has to be in small doses, and there has to be a hook involved with it. Same with, like, I like reggae.
Like reggae.
I like when the reggae beat enters a pop song. Like, the Pretenders will dip into a little reggae in the middle of one of their songs, they beat, but not the whole thing through and through.
I'm going to shit on my own point. If Dawson can find this song, we'll have a great time. The one exception was Cherry Pop and Daddy's Zoot Suit Riot. That song fucking cooks.
I thought that was Royal Crown Review.
Ooh.
Pretty sure it's
I'm
Cherry
not even
Pop.
Look
or did
for
they
it,
all
Brian.
Just record it at the same time?
Oh, yeah. Could have been Squirrel Nut Zipper. No, it wasn't.
Dawson's disgusted, he says.
I'm not looking
for
that.
It's a good song.
No, it's
he
not.
He says he's not.
No, it's definitely a good song.
We have some music, as long as we're going that direction. I was driving down to Malibu with Sonny listening to like the 80s channel, and one of the worst remakes ever. Now, to me, there's two things what you do with a remake. You can make it better. You can go Cat Stevens kind of Calypso, Sam Cooke, Saturday Night, Ain't Got Nobody, which is fine. But the worst thing you can do is just do a remake that kind of sounds the exact same as the song that you're remaking. Yeah. Yes.
One of the best examples is when Dawson did the Toolbox a couple of days ago. Joe Cocker's Get By with a Little Help from My Friends.
Right.
You guys know what Beatles Truther. It is 10 times better than the Beatles.
Oh,
version.
Yeah.
Right. Perfect example. This is a bad example of a remake. This is Duran Duran. I was listening to them as we were driving in. Got it.
So far, very impressive.
Duran Duran
chops with a 45-second intro.
Duran Duran had 6-minute songs that shouldn't have been 11 seconds.
Oh my God, this is a minute and a half intro.
Do you know the song yet?
No.
Oh. No. Fat. Back in the vault.
It's just a worse version.
I couldn't be in the band. I couldn't be in the band because it'd be like, it sounds like the song Fame, but worse. Like, it's just a bad version of that song.
This shouldn't have been made. There's no reason for it.
I don't think people really knew the power and implications of cocaine in the 80s. Like, I think it fucking fucked everyone's brain up. Like, they were like, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is good. Like, it was
everyone's John C. Reilly.
Right, Boogie Nights. Everything's like, yeah, that's what they're all playing. Their triangle guitars and wearing their parachute pants going, oh, no, this is it. Oh, everyone speak out of their brain.
Okay.
No, this is not enjoyable.
No good.
All right. And the thing that made me mad is it was on First Wave, which is Sirius XM station, where you can play some good old deep cuts of like Elvis Costello or the Pretenders or the Talking Heads. And they chose to fucking play this. Why would this enter? You have a playlist. Why would this make it onto your playlist? Do you know what I'm saying? Why should this be? It's not a federal mandate that you play this song once. It's not like we're in Canada and, you know, we got to hear a BTO song every 20 minutes.
Once again, Glass Tiger.
Yes, that's right. That's what I'm saying. Like, why does it make it on your list? Like, you put a list together. I was looking at Sonny. He was like making a face. He was like wincing. He was in the car going, what's this?
Like, maybe since Gina, I've never heard of this song. Maybe it's like, you know, contrarian play, you know, good digging deep.
Nah, I'm not a fan.
Well, there's so many great songs from the 80s or the first wave or whatever that is that are just, it's just a, you know, Joe Jackson song or Elvis Costello or Dave Edmonds or something, like Nick Lowe. Just pick a good song, a Graham Parker song, and play it. Don't want to fucking hear. By the way, you don't think Duran Duran gets enough spins on your 80s channel? They're Duran Duran. Oh, they're so lonely. They never get any love on your goddamn 80s channel. All you do is play Duran Duran. Why can't you just play another band? Why do you have to be a fucking horrible version of Fame?
Oh. Yeah, that was no good. But I got to, if we're talking about 80s remakes, now we all understand that in the mid 80s, a lot of songs didn't hold up. A lot of pop songs don't hold up. A lot of remakes didn't need to be made. Now, granted, did all of my friends and I get introduced to I Think We're Alone Now through Tiffany? Yes, we did. But what about Bananarama's cover of Venus?
Mm-mm. I stand by
not
it.
Bad.
I kind of like that one.
Me fine. Too.
Spunky. No problems with that.
It's paced up. It's like it's fun.
Yep.
We were, and it was like fun. We were driving home, thank God. And
yeah, I got
that's
no
fine.
This. Very tool tuney, but I got no problem with this.
Let's picture trying to picture three fat white chicks from Nebraska. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I would dig it quite as much because they were all sassy and British and models. You know, Bananarama were all like models and they're all looking fun and 80s and everything. The three fat chicks from Nebraska, bad name for a band, but I don't know if I'd be as down with this song.
I saw this music video just the other day and essentially the theme is hot chicks walking. That's
right.
It. Uh-huh. It's just these three chicks and all they're doing is walking.
That's a hit, man.
No, when you get the three fat chicks from Nebraska, you need a theme for your video, right? This is like, hey, we're hot, we're walking, we're having fun.
Here's our song.
Right. You guys, your job is to sit at home and guess which one of us you'd want to fuck the most. That's what we're doing.
We're long ties.
That's right. All right. Can we hear the song that it cleansed my palate on the way home because I said, Sonny, I'm going to turn this up because this is a rock song that you don't know about. I couldn't sleep at all last night. And I said, it's not overproduced. It's raw.
Underproduced.
Right. I love the background singers. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, Adam.
See how we're all popping our fingers and bopping our heads right now?
I'm noticing that, yeah.
You could look out in the audience and see that as well.
Okay. Wouldn't you like that?
Wouldn't it be a strange feeling?
It would be, yeah.
Instead of the heads of Easter Island or just the back of people's heads, heading out to get another drink.
Nice change of pace.
Right. This could be you. I also like that he's on theme the whole time. It's all about not being able to sleep.
Have you guys seen 20 Feet from Stardom?
Yeah, I love it.
But oh, yeah.
Singers.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Can't get enough of that. I just love the background, huh? It's raw.
Every instrument.
Is that a kazoo?
I don't know what that is.
I think it's two instruments, but we'll see.
Well, it's definitely
like
the sax.
And something right. else, but they're played.
It's also got that Hank Williams guitar in the background plucking, too. Good bass line.
God, I love this.
I love this goddamn song. I forgot how much I love this song. And it's always great because Sonny's never heard it. And I just cranked it up. And I'm like, this is not Duran Duran.
And how?
Jesus goddamn Christ.
I'd never heard this song before you played it. And then I listened to it over and over. And now I can hardly remember it. Was it Stepmother or Mother-in-Law?
Mother-in-Law.
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 Yeah, that was
Mother-in-Law.
It. I love that.
No,
one.
You Talk Too Much is another song.
Oh, yeah.
You talk too much, you worry me to death. You talk too much, you even worry my pet. You just talk. Yeah, Mother-in-Law. See, I'd make a horrible engineer because I come home with my pay, Mother-in-Law. She asked me what I made, Sorry. It's ask. Ask? Huh? Ask?
That's what I said.
I said ask. You said axe? Well, let's just try it again. Because if you listen to that song, you go, he asked me what I paid me. Mother-in-law. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. People used to talk shit. They talk about my girlfriend's fat, but she sure can't cook or whatever.
Yes.
Like, you want an ugly girl. You want an ugly girlfriend. Yeah. You got a horrible mother-in-law.
Never make a pretty girl your wife.
Right. You talk too much. You're worrying my pet. All right. Let me hit Albert here. Finance apps lack humanity. Albert combines real human guidance with proven technology so you stay in control. Love this app. It looks great. So easy to use. I wish it'd been around when I was broke. Where were all these great apps when I was broke? Albert, it's Albert Genius. Access to real-time financial advisors so you can message anytime through the app. And their savings as well. Tracks your income and spending. Find money. Just how much you can save. And they can, without disrupting your cash flow, Albert users save an average of $400 in 6 months. So it's smart, it's efficient, and it's instant cash advance of up to $100 straight to your bank account to tide you over if you need it. No credit check, zero interest, and no late fees. It's Albert, right, Dawson?
Install Albert from the App Store or Google Play today and find your happy balance and get a bonus of up to $40 when you start an annual subscription to Albert Genius.
All right, should we do some news, Gina Gran?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Gran. News with Gina Gran. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we all know it's been a few years, but information is still coming out about Osama bin Laden, and this is something that many people would not expect. Al-Qaeda founder bin Laden may have secretly communicated with his terrorist associates by hiding coded messages in pornos. This is according to a new documentary. The new National Geographic special called Bin Laden's Hard Drive analyzes the extensive digital and written materials covered by Navy SEALs at the slain terrorist compound in Pakistan when the killing happened in 2011. The Daily Mail reports that that bin Laden was found to be in possession of a trove of adult movies and erotic images that was described by officials as a fairly extensive collection of modern electronically recorded video at the time. And Peter Bergen, he's a CNN national security analyst and was the first Western journalist to interview bin Laden on TV, raises the idea that bin Laden may have been bearing encrypted instructions in his porn files.
Are you sure that's not just a story he told 11 of his wives? You know what I mean? Like, hey, babe, I know you think I'm sitting up here in my fucking bunker watching porn all day. I'm fucking working. Yeah. Do you understand
me? The future of jihad depends on this.
Yeah. You know Mr. Skin? Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. Well, the point is his wife doesn't bother him for looking at movies and trying to spot titties all day because that's his job.
Yeah, that's how he brings home the bacon. I mean...
Yeah, right. So if he could just back off a little and please knock before you come in and interrupt my... What? Why is my dick out?
Session.
Yeah. Well, why isn't your dick out? I know you are because... But what am I? Yeah, you know, the thing I say, funny, when you started talking about bin Laden, I started thinking about porn before you said porn. And the reason, because whenever you talk, we talk to, God, I can't remember his
name.
Robert O'Neill, the guy who killed him, basically. It's like I always find a bunch of porn everywhere. Like the one thing that men never escape, they just never seem to escape, is porn. No matter who they are, they're leaders, they're this, they're that, they're religious, they're everything else. But they're still into porn.
Well, to your point, didn't we a few years ago do a story about one of the highest, porn stat, in the country is in Utah?
Yes, it unites us all.
It's a great equalizer.
But we can never really talk about it, so we don't realize that we both. It's like Jimmy and I knew each other for 6 months, and then at some point, we said it was like that moment in sitcoms where they say "I love you." Where they go, but no, you go. No, you go. Well, I cut you off. What are you going to? Then they say it at the same time or whatever it is in the rom-com. It was that way with the TV show Alf. We both admitted out loud that we thought Alf was funny, but we were scared the other one would judge us.
You were going to say Sex Boat, but okay.
Sex Boat we had in common as well. So that was my first porn, and that was his first porn. So we had Sex Boat in common. But... they never say it out loud, but I think porn could probably unite this world. I think that is the one thing all these guys agree upon, right?
Yeah. And I don't know enough about fetishists or men's proclivities to speak to this, but I would think that it doesn't, there's all these categories for all these different types of women. If it's a woman and you're a cisgendered man, that's probably good enough, right? You don't need to get into what ethnicity they are, what color their hair is. If it's a woman, you'll watch it.
There's a few key exceptions, but for the most part, yes.
I think if we let's break it down this way. Let's call a woman in porn the hamburger.
I'm with you.
And then we have to argue over, do we like an onion slice? Do we like cheese? Some guys like spread. Some guys like mayo. Like, I think we can kind of agree that the burger and the bun is there. Most like the cheese. I like the works. I like the pickles and the tomatoes and onion. I'll go all there. Once in a while, you find the guy who likes a raw egg or something on there. That's like the German foot fetish porn guy. And you're like, I don't like. And also, it's kind of like, I don't think you can do better than a double-double with cheese and the spread. And like, I just don't think you could do better than that. And these
two
guys.
Two chicks on one guy.
Right. These guys are adding all this shit onto their burger.
Animal style.
Right. But they're a little bit, I think they're kind of outliers. I think most guys like the burger, the cheeseburger, the like a little mayo or mustard or whatever. You know, you, I'm not judging whether you say hold the pickles or I like lettuce on mine. That's all in the same camp. It's
there's a reason why McDonald's sells more burgers than everyone else combined. People like the burger.
Like I said, just riding in, when I drive in, I drive right past this McDonald's, and I drive past a drive-in at McDonald's, and I was driving at, I guess it was noon, so it was lunchtime. There were 31 cars in this drive-thru. Yep. I mean, it was way out the driveway, way down the street, and now it's starting to spill into the major thoroughfare. So I don't even know what they're going to do. But also, as desperate as people are for McDonald's, I also realize, as we talked about, people can spend so much time in their car now because you have all your iTunes and your podcasts and your internet stuff, your radio stuff, your phone. Just the fact you have your phone on, I think people are. When I was a kid, not that we went to drive-thrus, but if I was a kid and you went to the In-N-Out drive-thru, when I was 19 and you went to the In-N-Out drive-thru, if there were more than six cars, you'd park and get out of your car, just like walk in. There were 31 cars. People just pulled in. Now, I didn't have air conditioning or satellite radio, so I was like, this is miserable. I'm going inside. But people will just sit in their cars now, and I think, you know, I was saying to someone yesterday, they're telling me, I'm thinking about buying a house, but it's an hour-long commute. I don't know if I'm down with the hour long. I was like, what is a commute now? You're rolling phone calls. You're listening to podcasts. You're learning a second language. Like, what really? You're listening to Freakonomics, you know? You're listening to a book on tape or whatever, you know, audiobook. Like, what really is a commute these days? Just the fact that you can communicate with others. You can talk to people. You can have casual, friendly conversations, or you can get business done. Like, what is it? It doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Super comfortable. Yeah.
All right, let's see. So, Bin Laden bad, porn good. That's right. What I got.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. There's a video with no audio that I have to show you just because I have to. I'll show you in a second. So everyone knows that Tom Cruise likes to do his own stunts, but this newest, latest one that they've been teasing is insane. A new video shows the 58-year-old movie star riding a motorcycle off a mountain and parachuting down. It's the latest installment in the action series for Mission Impossible. It's Mission Impossible 7, and they've just resumed production. Now we're getting a glimpse into this. There's this giant ramp. You can show it. This giant ramp that just goes over the side of a mountain. We're watching him go over it right now. It looks like the track up to a roller coaster. He's off. There's a helicopter following him. He's down. They're going to show from another angle. And then you'll see him just sort of float down by parachute, teeny tiny.
Yeah,
there it is, the little blue parachute. The movie is set to be released this coming February, and that's presumably Tom Cruise.
It's going to be a lot of movies coming out next year.
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy. I'm picturing, when I was a kid, the loneliest man in America was the Maytag repairman.
Right, that's right.
And they used to run those commercials where it's like that guy, character actor, just sitting there bored off his ass. Like, he's the Maytag repairman, but they never need to be repaired. So he's sitting lonely, playing solitaire in his office all day. I would have fired the guy after year seven of never going out on a call. But anyway, Tom Cruise's stuntman, the least worked man in America. Like, he is the Maytag repairman of this generation, right? That's Tom Cruise's.
Yeah.
So I saw this on TMZ a couple of weeks ago. Of sorry to scoop you, Gina. This is a few weeks old. And I saw him go off the ramp and do the ramp, but I would be surprised. Now, let's not bring Tom's character into this. Some of this is just flat-out insurance. They just go, you're not doing this. You're not going to do this. I would be surprised if he did the motorcycle jump. Now, I could see him do the motorcycle jump on a harness or with a tether and a cable, but I couldn't see him do it without the cable and then straight into the parachute and down to the bottom of the canyon.
Well, so how would they... So that's why there's a cut there. So we didn't see the full shot. We saw it from one angle, and then we saw it from the bottom. So is that what you're saying? That's why?
Taking that motorcycle and accelerating off this huge ramp and going airborne with no cable and just a parachute, I don't think they'd let anybody do that.
Tom Cruise.
I don't think they would do that, but they would let you do it on that cable that he does all his stuff with, right? He has a big slime, which is still ballsy and nuts. He puts that harness on, and then they get the cable, and then he jumps roof to roof or whatever it is. So now Maxipad has got to try to figure it out.
Where would a cable be suspended from?
Somewhere above him, because if it's below you...
Oh, is that
loses
right?
Its effectiveness.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you, Bill Nye.
There was a helicopter above
but
him.
it was behind him.
Yeah, I don't think it can be the helicopter. I think it has to be something above. I think I saw a version of it where he did it and jumped off the bike and kind of dangled, but I don't know.
Oh, I got to see this.
If he just went and did it with the parachute, that is Travis Pastrana shit there. And I'm also, it's insane. But also, I just don't think they'd let you try that.
So he's the producer of the movie.
Adam, this story
around it that way.
Adam,
it's like they'd go. The insurance company's not going to let you do it.
Right.
Whoever's insuring this movie is not going to let you do it. I've had that happen where they just go, "You're trying to do a man show bit," or anything. They're not going to let you do it. Like I've had that. So, but I don't know. You tell us.
Adam, so what you saw was him practicing for the stunt with wires in England.
Oh.
And so this story is new.
Oh, yeah, Gina was not scooped parachute. By no. TMZ. And he just did it flat out?
What we know is just what the video says. So as nobody's saying that there wasn't any cables.
Oh, so
two
weeks ago he was practicing with the cables.
Yes.
Oh, and that's what I saw.
Yes.
And in the article, and that's why I said it says presumably Tom Cruise. So there's a little mystery around it, but yeah, it's a different video.
It's ballsy as hell, and I love it. I still can't wrap my mind around him just firing down that ramp with nothing but a parachute. That is just insane. So kudos to him if he did it. I'm still, I got one eyebrow up a little. Mm-hmm. I just got to. So the one I'm looking at on the right is him with the cable. That's him practicing.
Yes.
Okay, and then later on, Jesus Christ.
It's insane.
Imagine, no wonder why none of that guy's marriages ever last. Can you imagine that kind of intensity all the time? Like,
well, and there's another video I watched of him where he rolls, he dumps a bike hard, and he just rolls, and as everyone's running up to him, he jumps up, "I'm okay, don't worry. Like, he's just rubber.
You'd be married to him, and you'd be like in the kitchen, and you'd be like, "Tom, where's the oven mitt? And I want to get the, why do you need one?" It's getting the lasagna out of the oven. Really?
Let me handle this for you.
You need a mitten for that? Well, I don't want to burn my hands. You won't if your mind's right.
Yeah.
I'm just asking where the
oven. How committed are you to this project?
The oven mitten is? I don't know. Oh, yeah. We got some as a wedding gift, and I burnt them ritualistically in the backyard, okay, before I did 1,000 push-ups. So how you getting that lasagna out, bitch? And you're like, a towel? I don't think so. I'm not going to let our child witness your weakness.
No towels in this house.
You work it out. If it's up to me, I'd take my shirt off and put it on my back and walk it on all fours over to the fucking table. But you want your oven mitten? Fine. Where's it end? Oh, I'm putting a helmet on. I'm taking a shower. Where's it end? Where's it end? All right, I'm going to go ride a motorcycle off the roof. What you think about that oven mitten? You know, as a puss, that hamburger helper mitten. You know who that guy is right now? Died of AIDS. That's right. Ironically, didn't wear a glove. I don't even know where this bit's going anymore. Too intense, right? He'd come in and you'd be watching like Real Housewives of Orange County. He'd just be all judging the shit out of you. Like, I just rode a horse through a river.
Oh, but continue with your Real Housewives.
Yeah, awesome. You. Tell me if you want me to turn you over every 2 hours so you don't get bed sores. Now I'm going to go out ride another horse, and I'm going through a river again. This time I'm going long ways. Most people cross rivers. I go long ways, bitch.
I traverse them.
You want to use that oven mitten to operate your car, or are you good with just putting your plain hands on a steering wheel?
Oof.
Too intense, right?
Yeah. Tom, I've been thinking over. I think I'm going to take my daughter and escape in the night, if that's okay with you.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Let me hit our crowd. Wish you were early on some of the best performing IPOs in 2019 or 2020. Well, I think we all do. With our crowd, you can get it. Accredited investors have access to invest directly, easy, and most importantly, early. So you can get in on some of the action early and maximize your profits. Our crowd investors benefited from companies IPOing like Beyond Meat, or being bought up by companies like Intel, Nike, Microsoft, and Oracle. Today, you can join our crowd's investment in Texi, a software startup helping technicians and customers service teams see what the customer sees without ever stepping inside of the home or office. It's easy, it's safe, it's fast, and revolutionizing how companies like Vodafone, Verizon, and Samsung support customers. It is our crowd. Right, Dawson?
Get in early on Texi and other unique opportunities at ourcrowd.com/Adam. If you're interested in investing, you need to join our crowd. The Our Crowd account is free. Just go to ourcrowd.com/Adam.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with Cesario and the sports right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Hey, it's Chet Waterhouse with the BetOnline mini update, sponsored by Bananas, the banana guaranteed to ripen tomorrow. NBA, Clippers' Kawhi Leonard blocked an attempted dunk with his middle finger. Then he stole the ball using the devil's horns. NFL, our number two story, rumors the Browns' Odell Beckham likes a woman to poop on him. Ironically, I read this story while on the toilet. And finally, the Bears off-season trade for Nick Foles. Then they name Mitch Trubisky their starting quarterback. Sure, leave the Aston Martin in the garage. Let's take the Toyota MR2 for a spin. This mini update sponsored by Incognito. You'd never guess we're plumbers. Jeff?
Hey, thank you, Chet. Let's dive in on these headlines. The story taking its rightful place on the throne. Odell Beckham, rumored to enjoy having a woman poop on him. This was revealed by a top-notch source, rapper Chief Keef's baby mama, whose nickname is Slim Danger. She was on the No Jumper podcast on Hot New Hip Hop. And she revealed that she had once been called, and he requested a talent reel, because she had to make a tape of herself pooping. And then he said, yeah, that's it. You're on. So the classic Danny Thomas comes back to life.
Well, I guess Odell likes a quail egg on his burger. Using the analogy we were talking about earlier, sort of porn being a hamburger and how do you like it? But you guys tell me when things don't make sense sexually, you know what I mean? When you go, why? Like who would be into that? Are they into it, or are they into the effort? You know what I mean? Like here's something. Let me figure out a thing you would like to do the least sexually, and that's what I would like you to do. There are a handful of these guys out there. They're the you got to prove it to me guy. They're not really I like this. There's I like the note. Maybe they can't parse it out or even separate it. I like that you don't want to do this, and the fact that you're doing it, because sex is sort of, if you think about, if you break sex down, and maybe I'm the only man in America that thinks this way, I'll admit that going in, there's kind of two elements. There's like, I have this physical gratification, and then there's like, oh, she's letting me feel her boobie. Like you're in junior high. Like, oh, I bet she doesn't really want to do this, but she's letting me do this thing. Like, there's an element of is I am getting away with this thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe, mm-hmm. and the more taboo, the more you're getting away with, right?
That's a good point. And like you've said several times, you know, a lot of people are like, that's not true. She's making that up. When you get into certain details, I have a hard time believing this didn't happen. Jeff, I don't know if you've seen that. We have the video.
Yes.
And it's pretty magical. Oh, my God.
Of her talking about it.
Okay. You tell me this didn't happen.
Yeah.
When the video's a part of the story.
Baby. You can't. You got to deal with
it. You can keep it. Oh! Bombs! Okay, I will tell y'all the story.
Oh, allegedly. We're avoiding lawsuits here.
Yeah, allegedly.
We're dodging.
Okay.
It.
Yes, he loves to be shitted on.
Okay,
that was my first time ever. I never
did it.
I actually couldn't shit. Okay, I couldn't shit. Okay,
I don't think I could shit on demand either. What the fuck?
I could not do it. That was something like I'm a wild ass. I could do some freak asshole shit. You know what I'm saying? But the shit part,
you can't just do that to me like on spot. What?
Like shit on
right
me
now?
Okay, he wanted me to come on a plane. And he was like, make sure you don't have any underwear. Don't take a shower for 24 hours. I'm like, damn, what the fuck you on? But he was like, take a picture. This is how I got flown out. He was like, take a picture of me. You shitting. So I was like, all right, fuck. I can do that. So I took a whole video, bitch. What you want? I was like,
I love you.
You took a video? Of me shitting. So I
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm
like,
confused.
Maybe
pause it for a second. Are they talking about Fran Tarkington? Or are they talking about another NFL player?
I just like the I can do that. I mean, it's so just by the book. I don't think women have any interest in any of this.
And how come no one's made a Browns joke?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
The Browns.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So it's just.
But I mean, she gets into specifics. He asked me to get on the plane. He said, don't shower. He told me to take a video.
I know. It's very
specific. That's a checklist there.
Also, I don't know. Sounds about right. Like, do we think any differently of Odell Beckham? I feel like this is almost, on brand. Like,
he can't be a rote scholar anymore.
Yes. Interesting.
It has not been verified by a second news source. But but I'll take her word for it. There is no female equivalent to, the gentleman's code.
Can you?
This just came out like, hey, I got an anecdote. Guy asked me to shit on his chest.
I don't shit and tell.
I don't want to get back to, like, bloomers and corsets and petticoats, but don't you feel like we know too much now? Like, is there a little bit? There's like, I know too much about people. I kind of like the idea that, I grew up watching, Bob Greasy and Fran Tarkington and, Roger Staubach and stuff. And I really didn't know anything about him. Like, you'd get little bits and pieces like he was in the service. that's what we knew. Not like
noble.
He liked to turn his chest into a shit tray. Like, we didn't get that. We just got.
Yeah,
we got.
There's the color commentary for Chet during the game. There's the pitch out to Beckham down the sideline for 7. He likes to tack crap right on his chest. That's the tidbit now.
We got bits like was in the service, married his high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
has a 13-year-old girl who's like a lights out volleyball player. These were the personal insights we got. We didn't get
Trains
a lot of
hunting dogs in his downtime. The kick is up and it's good.
That was a big deal. He likes hunting. Dude, he fishes, dude. He's a sportsman. during his during the off season. He's a sportsman, or he's got a car dealership and he'll customize vans or something like that. It was nothing personal, nothing about what's going on. No ex-wife.
Doesn't mind a collapsed rectum down and out. He's got it in the corner.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's a weird, very weird thing.
Well, think about the process. My son loves Odell Beckham and is probably picking him on his fantasy football team. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has to now, I don't know, measure the man against the athlete against the Duke Meister.
Although
he's responded on his Instagram.
Yeah, he posted a picture in the caption. It reads, "Can't knock me off my pivot, no matter what shit's thrown my way."
Oh.
And then his girlfriend also responded with some poop emojis and an asterisk, "You mean on you?" And he responded, "You know me too well, shit's crazy."
It's after you shit twice? Wow. All right.
He's just going right at it. You got to give him credit for that. He's not juking it.
He's leaning into it. Yeah.
He's leaning into it. And with, you know, everybody nowadays, the news cycle is, 2 days maybe?
Right.
So he figures this will blow up. Nobody's going to care.
Now, if it's a quarterback running out in the open field, he's not doing a hook slide. He's going full Elway, helicopter, dive for the goal line. Mm-hmm.
This just in, Sonny did not get Odell Beckham on his team this year in the Corolla Fantasy Football League. That honor belongs to Kalen.
Kalen's got Odell. Oh, wow. Well, there you go. All right. What else
Kalen's
we got?
Got the pinched loaf. You got the Kawhi Leonard block. I don't know if you saw this. Mm-hmm. They were in a tight game with the Nuggets. And Kawhi Leonard blocked an attempted stuff by Jamal Murray, an attempted dunk in a pretty close game. So at a crucial moment, he literally blocked it with one finger, his middle finger. And it's the greatest F you in the world. I mean, it's not just in your face. It's actually a finger directly in your face. I don't know how a guy has a finger that long. I don't know how he is able to block an entire basketball and a full grown man's strength behind it.
And he didn't break his finger?
No, he was fine. Wow. 23 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, and the biggest FU in the history of the game.
You know, it strikes me. Well, he got up and I think he got some of his other fingers on it initially, and then it just sort of, they all sort of peeled back and to leave the front finger. So it wasn't like he just went up with one center finger to block it. That's brash. He went up with his full open hand, and it sort of, they sort of peeled off. But I was thinking about him, and Brian, I was thinking about you and your San Francisco 49ers and your George Kittle.
Dud.
And the reason I was thinking about Kittle and Kawhi is, there are certain guys that are great athletes, but you can tell they work very hard for it, and they're this, that, and the other. And then there are other guys that are like nature boy. You know, like Kittle is just like nature boy. He just runs out there and runs over people and pushes his hand. Like, there's a weird kind of man strength, farm strength, sort of just a natural thing. It's not, you don't get it in the weight room. It's kind of a crazy hustle meets nature boy strong, like just those dudes you went to high school with that had that. We called him nature boy, like just
Ric Flair,
just that dude, you know. And Kawhi's like that dude, just big hands, big feet. It doesn't seem to emanate from the steroids or the work or the weight room or anything. It's just a pure kind of visceral, natural kind of crazy nature boy strength. And I think Kawhi's got that. And
Kawhi's not the most physically imposing, like in his uniform. There's guys that are certainly more built and cut and whatever, but he's a freaking nature.
When you see Kittle play, like when you see him block, that's exactly, you see the same thing. Just this, he's smaller than half the guys he's blocking, and he's just running them into the ground.
Lanky.
Yeah, and well, that's the whole thing about the nature boy thing is crazy leverage, like just weird long, along with leverage. That's the nature boy thing. It's not short and big muscles. It's kind of long and leveragey. I mean, he just vertical leaps, got to be 35, 38 inches. Just goes straight up.
I see some George Kittle.
Yeah. All right. What else we got?
Well, let's keep it in football. The Let's see, where are they here? The in Corpus Christi, Texas, outside of Corpus Christi, Texas, there is a town called Robstown. And the nickname of their sports team, which was unintentionally revealed on Twitter, is the Robstown Cotton Pickers.
Oh, yeah.
And they're normal.
Oh, they have a mascot and everything.
Oh, dear.
Oh, brother. And the local sports reporter, Chris Thomason, normally calls them just the Pickers, which to me almost sounds as bad. But it actually got out that the full name is the Cotton Pickers. They actually consulted with the local community down in Robstown around Corpus Christi. And it's a lot of Latinos down there, heavily Latino. And there is a lot of the cotton industry down there, so they pick cotton for a living. They did not think it was particularly offensive, at least in the Latino community. So the school board stuck with the name until it kind of broadened out and people realized, oh, maybe there's a world larger than Robstown.
Well, the thing about
might want to acknowledge.
The thing about Corpus Christi is when you're talking to the city council about changing your name, you're starting off with, our town is named Body of Christ.
Yeah.
Or Corpse of Christ. I mean,
Corpse
I guess
of Christ.
Corpse of Christ. So where do you really where's Cotton Pickers in the big scheme of things? We're living in the Corpse of Christ.
I think it's Body of Christ.
Or Body of Christ.
Like habeas corpus.
Yeah, of course. The body of Christ. I would argue that Cotton Pickers is sort of a lateral move from that.
Down, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's down.
Right, the body of Christ.
And I'm not sure what the mascot is or anything. At least on the gymnasium wall, it was just a, what do they call that? A
cotton bud.
Fruit? Cotton bud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
not too intimidating.
No. You know, you'll get a soft landing with the Robstown Cotton Pickers. That's about the best thing. Roger Goodell, the head of the NFL.
Many, I don't know if you guys know this, but many of the Middle Eastern people in this country descend from rayon pickers. Their families picked rayon back in the day to make disco shirts. Yeah, back in the 70s and late 60s. So a lot of bands wore a lot of the stuff their ancestors picked rayon out in the hot field all day picking rayon. Sorry, go ahead.
Roger Goodell claims that there's this whole thing going on. Several of the NFL teams are not allowing any fans, up to 10 teams. Then there's some that are allowing some fans, up to 12 to 13,000 in Miami and Kansas City, socially distancing with masks. Roger Goodell says that there will be no advantage to the home team that has fans in the stadium.
Really?
Yeah, that's why do his they, claim.
Why they play the Super Bowl the neutral site? Why don't they just play it in New England? You know what I mean? Like when the Patriots are there. Like, why do you pick a neutral site for a Super Bowl?
Yeah. I think he's playing politics here. He's just trying to drive down the center of the road, and he's going to get hit from both sides if he does that.
Well, what are
they they pick a neutral site partly because otherwise you'd have a week or a week and a half to set it up. This monstrous production.
But you still can't –
I agree, you can't play
a home team. I mean, it wouldn't – the away team would cry bloody murder if you said we're going to Pittsburgh or New England, and Pittsburgh or New England was playing. Now, once in a while – or I should say once in a while, I don't even know if it's ever happened where that team has gone to the Super Bowl, the neutral site.
Once. And it's not even official because the 49ers won against the Dolphins, and I believe the game was in Palo Alto, which is a stone's throw from Candlestick Park, there where they were playing. But no one, I don't believe any teams ever played actually in their home stadium.
You know, the Rams played Super Bowl in the Coliseum. Oh, sorry, in the Rose Bowl, which was the same. Now, the Rose Bowl is 8 miles from the Coliseum, like as the crow flies. I mean, it's right there. But there were still more Pittsburgh Steelers fans in the crowd, if you remember that game back in the 79. So it didn't help them. What are the rules then? We have a game, starting tomorrow, as you hear this. How many people are going to be in that stadium? Are any
it
people going
to
be in that stadium?
It depends where it is.
It's KC, so 12,000 to 15,000, right?
I believe Kansas City is going to hold it to 12,000. Although maybe that is an advantage for the visiting team. Just pathetic, widely dispersed
smattering of applause.
Yeah,
it's like oh, they can't draw anything.
It's like Spinal Tap when they went to Magic Mountain and they were going to do the rebirth of Spinal Tap at their jazz fusion. You know what I mean? They went out to the crowd. Like it's sadder to have a smattering of humanity than no humanity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it could create actually a swell of confidence in the visiting team. I'd rather hear nothing. A smattering.
Who are the stadiums that are having nothing, or the home teams that are having nothing?
There are 10 teams. I believe Green Bay is one of them. Both New York teams, the Giants and the Jets, both LA teams.
Ugh. I think the Niners are going fanless.
And there's
yeah, anything in California feels like probably as well.
I would guess Arizona, Louisiana, any place that's been considered a hot spot, I would imagine they don't have fans.
I didn't even.
That's just a guess.
I'll bet you.
I know the SEC's playing football, so you know.
I think it's probably more the governor and the mayor and the whatever and politics probably than even hot spots these days. I just think it's like some have declared we're shutting down and others haven't.
Yeah, I don't think the SEC is allowing science to lead the way here. I think they're just going, look, it's football season. That trumps everything.
God, I just want to go inside and eat. All right, let me hit Bet Online here. The wait is finally over. Football's back. Well, I think we just made that abundantly clear. And you can still get in on all the action at Bet Online. Opening night, we got KC tomorrow. We got Houston at KC, that is. And that's coming up tomorrow on the 10th. We also have Sunday games, Seahawks, Falcons, Dolphins, Patriots, Cowboys, and Rams. I wonder who's favored in that game. Bet Online gives you more options to wager in any other place online, from game spreads to totals and props and championship futures and more. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great season opening bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Get in on the action at Bet Online. What else we got, Jeff?
Oh, you got time for the Bet Online line. Mm-hmm. Tonight, the Celtics and the Raptors. Celts -150. That means you bet 150 to win 100. Clippers and Nuggets. Clippers, big favorites based on the middle finger block. -366. Thursday night football. Casey's still favored big, but the spread moved down to 9. Might be time to grab that bet. Sunday, biggest NFL week one favorite is the Colts. -410 versus the Jaguars. That's how bad the Jaguars are, is the Colts are favored by that much. And Dancing with the Stars, Adam, the line has moved. Oh. Johnny Ware +350. AJ McLean +450. Oh. And Carol Baskin +5,000.
I gotta get in on Ware, man. I know it's gonna keep moving.
I don't know this Baskin gal. She figured out a way to kill her husband. Dancing is probably child's play.
I may be. When does that start? It's got to start in a couple of few. I've been seeing. I'll try to get past the Tyra Banks hosting part, and she may be. She may be worse than Ellen, but I will. I will be watching. Is Brady supposed to win this this Sunday? Is Tampa Bay favorite? What's the spread?
I don't
on
have that line in
look
front
up,
of me.
Look up Tampa Bay. Yeah. I'm curious if we think if
the
we
Rams
think
I think are a push at Dallas. Dallas is favored by 3, but that's considered
hometown
field advantage.
Yeah, but what's home field these days?
Yeah, nowadays,
right?
Yeah. So
Bucks are 3.5-point underdogs to the Saints at in New Orleans.
Oh wow! Yeah, that sounds about right. Dance with the Stars premieres on Monday. Last but not least, I'll tell you about Geico. Right now, Geico's offering a 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money you could already be saving if you're going with the Geico. So, never been a better time to switch at geico.com, and you can learn more and save more at geico.com. All right, let's bring it home, Jeff.
That's it for All Balls, All Sports. A reminder, everybody here, every Friday, we're placing a bet. One person, one bet, anything on the board. We'll sort it all out the following week. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
All right. Jay Shetty's a very interesting guy. He's a former monk, I guess. I have a very interesting conversation coming up with him one-on-one in a second. So stay tuned for that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with author and podcaster and former monk and motivational speaker Jay Shetty right after this.